That is the sound of a chimpanzee named Freck calling out when he sees one of his favorite foods, an apple. But after Freck and eight other chimps moved from a Dutch zoo to a Scottish zoo, they all began to change their tune. They didn't exactly start speaking with a burr, but what they did do turned out to be a very big deal to the scientists who were eavesdropping on them. Vicky Croak reports on animal issues for us and is here to translate. Vicky, what are we hearing?
So what we just heard is a recording of a referential call, a sound chimps make to communicate something important to each other, the presence of a predator or the discovery of a good food source. And chimps can have distinct grunts for different types of food. And the grunts convey meaning. I mean, the chimps who are listening react appropriately, either rushing in or away based on the information. So scientists had thought these calls were innate and fixed, meaning that the calls themselves don't have any flexibility and can't be changed or modified, very much unlike words in the human language, which obviously have lots of flexibility and get modified all the time. And this is an important point, because it's been argued that this apparent lack of flexible control over the referential calls is a deal breaker when it comes to language, an essential way in which chimps' vocalizations differ from human language.
So they started saying the word apple differently, or what?
That's right. So this group of researchers wanted to investigate this theory. And in 2010, they had the chance, because that's when a group of nine chimps from a zoo in the Netherlands was transferred to a zoo in Scotland with its own group of nine chimps. And the change didn't happen right away. But after the two groups began bonding, the so-called Dutch chimps changed the way they vocalized around one of their favorite fruits, apples. And they started sounding off a lot like the Scottish chimps when they did it. And it's pretty easy to hear the difference. Let's listen once again to Freck, who was recorded with apples before being with the Scottish chimps. Okay, now this is Freck around apples after he'd been at the Scottish Zoo for a while.
So it's a lower pitch.
Yes, it's very different. And by the way, it's important to say that the chimps didn't change the way they felt about the apples. They still loved them. They just changed the way they referred to them.
So does that mean that these are like words, those grunts that we're hearing?
Yeah, here we're entering really dicey business, because there are practically wars waged in academic and scientific circles over whether or not chimps use or are even capable of anything remotely like language with its rules of syntax and grammar. And the researchers of this study themselves say these calls are not, in fact, words, and that they're not arguing they are. But they and many others do think the results make an important contribution to our understanding of the evolution of the building blocks of language. And I spoke to Simon Townsend, one of the authors of the scientific paper published in the journal Current Biology. And he told me by phone from Zurich what he believes the study does show.
Essentially, you could say that this kind of closes a bit the gap between the kind of reference that we see in humans and the reference that we see in animals. But there are still a number of differences between the kind of words that we see in human language and the referential calls that we see in animals. And we still are not completely clear on the underlying cognitive mechanisms that drive the production and are also involved in the perception of these sounds. And to avoid making too many active analogies to human words, we don't call them words. We call them functionally referential calls, because the function of the call is to refer to something external in the environment.
So we're not going to call them words, but I'm still left with that sound of Freck saying one thing one way in one country and one thing another way in another country. Is it like me going to another country and saying, let's say, pomme in France instead of apple in English?
Yeah, this is still unknown. And Townsend said that question hasn't fully been answered, though some of the popular articles that covered this issue have called these chimps bilingual.
And this is just the latest research, of course, into chimpanzee communication. There's been a lot of this going on for a long time, Vicky.
That's right, Jeremy. It's been going on for nearly a century, believe it or not. And it's fascinating. Some of my favorite animal stories come out of these particular studies. For instance, there's Washoe. She's the first chimp to be taught to use American Sign Language at the University of Nevada starting in the mid-1960s. And her story is told in detail by Roger Fouts in one of my favorite books of all time called Next of Kin. But Washoe is being taught and potty trained at the same time. So she would run to the bathroom signing to herself, hurry, hurry. And she was obviously smart as well as adorable, because her vocabulary eventually grew to hundreds of words, and she would later even teach some signs to a young chimp. But whether it makes the threshold of language or not, I've always been intrigued by some of the, I don't know any other way to put it, but the wordplay of these chimps. And Washoe and other chimps in these studies often combined words when confronting things they had no specific word for. So a swan became water bird, watermelon drink fruit.
Wow.
Radish hurt cry food, one of my favorites, and Alka-Seltzer a listen drink. I love that.
Amazing. Wow.
Now, the problem is these studies weren't great for the chimpness of the chimps, many of whom were raised by humans. So The apes often got very confused about their own identity and place in the world. So one chimp, Lucy, would leaf through the pages of Playgirl magazine at certain points in her estrus cycles, and she actually mixed a gin and tonic for a visitor. And now I know that story because the visitor was Jane Goodall, and she told me about it herself. And then, I'm proud to tell you, there was a chimp named Vicky, a home-reared chimp who was once asked to sort photographs of humans and animals into two piles. And she had no problem placing photos of chimps in the pile with horses and dogs, but she got one wrong. And that was a photo of herself, which she added to the pile with humans, including Dwight D. Eisenhower and Eleanor Roosevelt.
Well, she thinks very highly of herself. Vicky Croak, who covers animal issues for us at Here and Now. And you can see photos of the chimps in the study. You can listen to some of these recordings at our website, hereandnow.org. Vicky, thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.